Okay, good morning. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see all of you that are here in the building this morning. We miss those that are not able to be here due to sickness or other things going on. And we welcome you that are watching by Facebook this morning. We pray that God will richly bless you as a result. Turn with me in your Bibles again this morning to Romans chapter 11, verse 29. After last week, and I apologize to you two, I said that I wouldn't be preaching today. I tricked you. I am. It was going to be Jason, but I did during the week have a third part to this, and it just seemed right to have it immediately following part two. So this will be part three of Irrevocable, and I'm not near as tricky and sneaky as it seems like I am. At least I don't think I am. Romans chapter 11, and we'll first of all read, as we did last week, in the King James Version, and then we will read from the NIV. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That is from the King James Version, from Romans 11, 29. That same verse from the NIV says, for the gifts and his call, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. The title of this message is Irrevocable Part 3. Now, I'm only going to very briefly go backward a little bit before we go forward, only if someone's listening for the first time that they have some context for this. But there is a lot that I will not be revisiting that I would encourage you, if you have an opportunity, avail yourself of at least part two of this, which was preached last week here. As we always do, when it helps us, we like to define terms because it helps us understand what God is saying, what is meant. Call. For God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. What is a call? Well, as a verb, it is a call to join Him. It is a call to action. It is being chosen for a purpose, His purpose. Well, what is call as a noun? Because it's not only being called, but it is receiving something, which is a call. His call is our God-appointed job, our vocation. I like that word vocation. It speaks more of just temporary. It speaks a little bit more permanency. Not that whatever job that God gives us, we have it for life. Susan and I were called to take on responsibility for Children's Church in the first, the church that we were part of when we were young and when we were called to ministry. We felt called to take on responsibility for Children's Church. I'm not still doing Children's Church. And we didn't do it for years and years and years, but for a period of time, we did it. And it wasn't just a one or two time thing. It was a vocation. It was something that we took on until God moved us on to something else. A call is God's appointed job or vocation. This call of God should then be our reason for being, our life's mission. Then we need to define gifts. Gifts are the tools that He gives so that we might do His work for His glory. The tools is what we are, what we use in order to accomplish this job. We can't do it on our own or in our own strength. God not only gives us the call, the instruction, the direction, but He also gives us the tools. We accomplish our God-appointed job, our jobs, and life's mission, our missions, by learning to correctly use the tools that He has given us. We said last week that calling and gifting go together, just as God's guidance and provision go together. Know this, if you are gifted, you have been given that gift or gifts for a kingdom purpose. Your gifts should be used to serve Him and fulfill His call on your life. If you are called by Him, then you have been given gifts in order to successfully fulfill His calling. If you're called, then you're gifted. If you're gifted, then you're called. They always go together. And the gifts and call of God, as the Scripture says, are irrevocable. That means they cannot be called back. The Lord will not repent or change His mind regarding us, nor what He expects of us. Our lives are to be fully spent using our gifts to honor Him and to bless Him. Dustin, you're really good at taking notes. Can you take this down as a note? Because we're going to refer back to it. This sentence, our lives are to be fully spent using our gifts to honor Him and to bless others. Anybody else taking notes? This would be a good note to take down. This is the very essence of this message and this series of messages. If you get nothing else out of this whole thing, if you don't remember a story, if you can't remember scripture reference, if you don't remember anything, please remember this. Our lives are to be fully spent using our gifts to honor Him and to bless others. It's a twofold reason why He's given us gifts, so that we, by those gifts, might honor Him in order that others might know Him and be blessed. So, Dustin, did you get that? Okay. I'm going to call on you from time to time, and I want you to remind us what the essence of this message is, because there's no way that you can get into all the detail that we're getting into and not have opportunity to lose sight of the essence of it. We need to ask ourselves, what in my life specifically is committed to Him and to His purposes? What gifts has He given to me? And am I faithfully developing and exercising my gifts in order to fulfill His call on my life? All who are truly born again are called of the Lord to serve Him and to fulfill His purposes. Calling and gifting are God's part of this process. Our willing response to His call and the exercising of His gifts is our part. This process is where God makes known to us that we have enormous value to Him and where we openly, willingly demonstrate our appreciation and devotion to Him. We are given value, so we value what we have been given. God's Word tells us, and again, I went into a whole lot more detail on all of this last week, but just to summarize, God's Word tells us that we must first take heed. That means to consider or weigh carefully the ministry that we have been given. Again, ministry is our area of God-directed service, that which He has called you to. It is your efforts towards answering His call. God's Word also tells us to fulfill our ministry, to carry through to the end, to accomplish, to carry it out, to the full. God's Word also tells us to neglect not the correct use of our gift. That means it can be neglected. If He tells us to not neglect it, that means we have an opportunity to neglect it. But He says, don't take that opportunity neglect not. God's Word also tells us that we need to stir up our gifts, to rekindle, as rekindle a fire, to bring the embers together and to blow on them and make them burn hotter, or to stimulate a horse to make it run faster, to put effort towards making this thing go. And God's Word tells us to make full proof of our ministry, that area of God-directed service, to fulfill it in every part, to carry through to the end, to accomplish and to finish. People can allow things to enter into their heads and to their hearts, which either immediately or over time work to prevent them from exercising their gifts and pursuing their calling. Don't you think for one minute that the devil's going to sit idly by and allow you to serve God and cause His kingdom to grow without putting up a fight? And most of that fight comes from within. There's some of it that comes from without, but we, on a somewhat frequent basis deal with things that come at us from without, but almost daily we fight those things which attack us from within, where an enemy has found an inroad into our heads, into our hearts. Don't allow that to happen. Now we're getting into part three. Let's look more closely at how we might be gifted for His service. If we say we have, there's a call of God to each and every one of us, and we all have gifts in order to fulfill that call, what could these gifts possibly be? Well, first of all, let's understand that there are universal gifts. These gifts are given that we might fulfill a universal or a general call. All who are born again are called to the same universal or general call and gifted with the same universal and general gifts. This is important to understand because sometimes we only recognize something as important when it's big and our minds have a hard time comprehending it. No, things are important. Even the very small things are important. The things that we take for granted, we shouldn't. They should be important to us. And these universal gifts, we need to understand them. First of all, the gift of life. God's breath in us. Daily life, living our daily life, because He has given us life on this earth. God's daily life being lived for Him with a purpose. You know, let me just say that only Christians are able to fulfill this and do it, but everybody who draws breath has been given that breath, even those who are unsaved. Every human being that draws that breath in order that he may exhale with praise unto the Lord. And energy flowing through his veins has been given to him so that he or she might go forth and do the will of the Lord. It's only a Christian, only somebody who has yielded to the Lordship of Jesus Christ who's going to be able to accomplish that. But God is going to hold everybody accountable for the breath that He's breathed into them. There will be a day of judgment. In this area of life, in this daily life that we lived, we have gifts within this life, this daily life. The gift of a life's partner, a mate. Now, not everybody has been gifted. Some have been called to live single. Others have been called to be married, but they haven't found that life's partner yet. But for those of us who have a partner, that partner is a gift from God. The New Living Translation says this in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. Fathers can give their sons an inheritance of houses and wealth, but only the Lord can give an understanding wife. An understanding wife, a good wife, comes from the Lord. I thank God that He brought Susan into my life. I wasn't looking for her. I was looking for a Swedish girl when I finally got to Sweden. But I never got there. God brought Susan into my life first. I'm so glad He did. She is a gift from God to me. And she knows that I'm a gift of God to her. I told her that many times. I told her that before we got married. I said, I want you to know you're getting a good deal. I keep reminding her of that. Our children are a gift from the Lord. Those of us who have children, our children are a gift from the Lord. They're not little pains in the rear end. They are a gift from God. And if they are a pain, it's because we haven't learned to train them correctly yet. But Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18 says, Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel. Remember, every gift has been given to us for a reason, not just to make us happy. Susan was not just given to me as my wife to make me happy and to please me. She's been given to me as a help that is suitable for the job that God's given both of us to do. Our children have not been given to us because we love those cute little adorable babies and squeezing their little chubby cheeks and raising their little short hands above their giant heads, and they only come up this far. I've never been able to figure out how that happens. A baby's arms fully extended come to here. How does that happen? But they're not given to us because we just love cute things. I mean, he might as well just given us bunnies or kittens or something. But no, we want babies for that purpose. No, not for that purpose. In order that we might, as a family, serve God. The gift of our possessions, what we have worked for, or whether we haven't worked for it, we've inherited. These possessions are to be used for God's glory. They should be under His command. We should respond to Him as to how we use them. They're not totally ours. We've been given stewardship over them, but they are gifts from God. Luke chapter 12, beginning verse 16. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, this is the rich man, he thought to himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this I will do. I will pull down my barns and build greater ones. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Why does God have the authority and the right to do that? Because those things didn't belong to that man anyway. They were on loan by God. In this gift of life, we have been given the gift of time. These are universal gifts. Our possessions are universal. You say, well, I don't have the gifts that that man did. No, but you have possessions. You have something. You may not have everything I have. I may not have everything you have. We may have different possessions, but our possessions are ours and are given to us by God. We all have them. These are universal gifts. The gift of time. Time is given to everybody universally. We all have 24 hours in a day. People say, well, I don't have time for that. No, you haven't ordered your day for that to happen. We don't have time for everything. It's a priority. And maybe I don't have time for certain things. I don't have time to go out dancing because I choose not to go out dancing. I choose not to have that be a priority. But we all have time. What we do with it depends upon, have we sought the Lord? Lord, what do I do with my time this day? The gift of finances, our money, not just our possessions, but the flow of money in and out of our lives, is a gift of God that we all have. Whether we have a little or we have a lot, we have that. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Then the gift of salvation to those who are born again. All of us who are born again have the same gift. We don't serve a different Jesus. If you do, you're not in the club. You're not in the family. The gift of salvation, we all serve the same Lord Jesus. By faith we are born again, saved, redeemed, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Then there's the gift of acceptance and belonging. We are adopted into His loving, eternal family. We didn't earn that. We didn't deserve it. He could have left us as orphans, but no, He brought us in to His family. Then we have the gift of the Holy Ghost, those of us who are born again and who have received the Holy Ghost, which brings us power to preach the gospel to the lost, to be His witnesses on this earth, to do supernatural acts in His name. Everything that we have and everything that we will have is given to us by God as a gift, and it has all been given for a heavenly purpose. Dustin, can you remind us what the essence of this message is?
Our lives are to be fully spent using our gifts to honor Him and bless others.
Our lives, our daily lives, are to be used to honor Him and to bless others. Your possessions are to be used to honor God. What I do with my land, what I do with my house, what I do with my car, what I do with my money, my relationship with my wife, my children, all of these things, my time, all of this is to be used for this heavenly purpose, to honor God and bless others. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, "For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Now there's a lot more that can be said on each and every one of these. But my purpose this morning is not to fully understand every little nuance. The purpose of this morning and this series is so that we would understand what, Dustin?
Our lives are being fully spent using our gifts to honor Him and bless others.
Now that means you might have some praying to do. Lord, help me understand more fully what Your call is on my life, what Your gifts to me are. Am I fully using them for Your glory? Is there more I need to learn? Is there more I need to grow? But if you get the essence of this message, then grappling with these things is going to be a good thing. It's going to get you to a good place and a better place. Now, the next... What did I just do with it? Pardon me for a moment. I turned it before I was ready. So we have our universal gifts that all of us have been given. But we also have been given unique gifts. Gifts given to us by God in order that we might fulfill a specific or unique ministry and service to in His kingdom. We are called of God to fulfill a specific kingdom mission, which requires specific or unique gifts. Regarding these gifts, we do well to recognize the sovereignty of God and how perfectly and uniquely He has called and gifted us, and how He perfectly and uniquely has called and gifted others. He has made us to be like interdependent and interlocking pieces of a giant puzzle, rather than as individual, self-contained units, standing alone and competing with one another for recognition and reward. We do our best work for the Lord when we gladly do our part and when we deeply appreciate others and the contribution of others. So, unique gifts. This is where we're going to finish up today as we go through a few of these unique gifts. And these are things that God has not necessarily called all of us to. He's called all of us to have gifts, but these different gifts are different between myself and Dustin, myself and Michael, myself and Andrew. So we need to find out what has God specifically called me to. I need to know what He has universally and generally called me to, but what specifically? Well, let me just say this. In Ephesians 4, 10 and 11, we see that God says that when Jesus ascended onto high, He gave gifts unto men, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. I'm not bringing this into the mix of unique gifts because it affects so few people in comparison to the whole. But just know for a fact that, number one, men have been uniquely gifted to fulfill these roles, these offices. They have been gifted for that, to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Very few people have been called, comparatively speaking, there may be millions in the world, but comparative to the whole population, fewer are called to that. So we're not going to spend time talking about it other than that, though, that they're there. But I'm putting this here in this position because they also are gifts universally, because those men with gifts are also gifts to the church. So we should all be a partaker of the gift of God that comes through an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, all of them together. We universally should benefit from these gifts, not because we possess them, they've been given to us internally, but they've been given to us through these offices, these men who stand in offices. So that those gifts straddle the unique and the universal. But let's go on from there. People are uniquely gifted of God to do a job of work. When we do any honest and meaningful work, and we do it well for His glory, with the intent to honor Him and to bless others. Exodus chapter 35, beginning verse 30, and Moses said unto the children of Israel, "See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And He hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. And to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass." This is the Lord enabling people to do a job of work and giving them the skills through gifting to do it. These men weren't born with it. God gave them these skills. And in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood, and to make any manner of cunning work. And He hath put in His heart that He may teach both, He and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. Them He hath filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and in purple. God uniquely gifts people to accomplish a job of work, and you can ask God for His ability. When you're in a place, I got some stories that I would love to be able to tell. They'll just take up too much time today. Let me just say this. If you need wisdom and ability to do a job and to do it well, to honor Him and to bless others, then just believe God. Susan prayed over me many times in the past when I felt inept, inadequate, that I couldn't do something, that it was above me, beyond me, that I didn't fit the qualifications. Susan prayed for me, and I sought God for His grace to go forward, and I always came out smelling like a rose. Not because of me. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, it's not because of me. It's because of God's grace at work that I sought Him for, and He gave me these gifts. I remember talking to a man one time, and I was trying to honor the Lord by saying how God has put me before very powerful, important people in the business world and given me favor with these people, really high up people. And I said, and it was all God doing it because I'm not that good. And he said, "I don't know why you'd put yourself down like that." He said, I would go into a room and just act like I owned the place because, you know, I knew how good I was. I'm not you. I know how good I'm not. And I know I need the Lord. And I know I need His gifts. And if I don't have His favor on my life, His grace on my life, then I'm not going to be able to accomplish it. And you know what? I'm giving the glory to the Lord for that. And every work he, Hezekiah, and every work that he, in Hezekiah is who he is, began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Your work, what you have before you, whether it's a job outside the home, whether it's a job inside the home, whether it is providing for your family, whether it's changing diapers, whether it's washing the dishes, whatever it is, whatever work in this life that you have to accomplish that is unique to you, that is a job that you must fulfill, God can give you His ability to do it. And you say, well, I know how to wash dishes. It's just the want to I need. Well, pray for God to give you that. Pray for God to give you His joy that you can do it with joy. And you can honor Him as you do it. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Use your special skills to serve and honor God and to show the world that we work for Him and for a higher purpose. It's not just about getting wealth for ourselves. Our gifts can become a means of reaching out to others. Our hope is that others may see something of the majesty of the Lord and the way we are devoted to Him. By the quality of the work we perform and by our availability to bless others with our gifts. Many doctors, a doctor is a profession, it's a job. It's a job in this life. Not all of us are called to be a doctor, but some are. Many doctors, nurses, lawyers, mechanics, plumbers, teachers, house cleaners, decorators, farmers, handymen, general laborers. The list is endless. Many of these have found that giving of their skills in order to help others can be a means of showing God's love to others. One day a month, or a quarter, one evening a week, a few hours on a Saturday, or once every 2 weeks, or whatever fits what God is saying to you and what is growing inside your heart. See what good can come of making your skills available to others for free. Free legal advice, free medical help, free car maintenance, free babysitting, free help in someone's home, free tutoring. You get the picture. Seek the Lord. You must hear and obey Him, not me. I'm not the one who calls. I'm just delivering a message. There is one who calls. And He has called and gifted. And with your gifts, what are we to do?
Our lives are to be fully spent using our gifts to honor Him and bless others.
Honor Him with your gift, with what you can do. Honor Him and bless others. There are many people who have started out as a doctor, which gave a few hours a week or a few hours a month and opened up a free health clinic for poor people and found that the giving of the life for that purpose became greater to them, and they put more and more and more energy, and they got more people involved, and more doctors shared time and energy and got support and opened up free clinics for people. Why? Because it's on somebody's heart. I have a gift. I have a talent. I want to bless people, and so I'm going to do it. There's mechanics who have said, and let me say this to you. If somebody's a mechanic, don't everybody feel like it's their job to fix your car? No, it's their job to use that gift to go out and make money for their family. But Because they have that gift, they may want. They may want. It's not have to. They may want it. It should come from them. They may want to help people for free from time to time. So don't put people just because they can do something in a jam like I do with Jason, like I've done with my sons. You can do that with people you're that close to. But too often what happens is people feel like because I know somebody and they know me, then they owe me this favor. No, nobody owes you nothing. But if they want to, and if you're one that has a skill, I've known people who said once a month, excuse me, on a Saturday, I will work on people's cars for free. They can come, and as long as they're willing to wait, if they have the patience to wait, I'll get to it when I get to it. Now, the rest of the time, I can't do it. I got other responsibilities. But I give of my skills in order to bless people. Consider what God may be calling each of you to do. Then, uniquely, we also have, in using that same passage of Scripture where God granted these men the skill in order to do certain jobs, notice some of those jobs were very creative, artistic. Artistic and creative skills are skills and gifts that God gives to people to honor Him and to bless others. Music falls in this. The playing of instruments, the singing, the composing music is a gift, a unique gift that not everybody has. And people that do have it in all kinds of different ways. Not everybody sings the same with the same voice. There's sopranos and there's bass. There's everything in between. There's pianos, there's guitars. There's everything imaginable. There's different ways to express a love and a devotion to God through music, playing instruments, singing, different voices. Everybody's different in this. And composing songs and music. Artistically, with creative skills, doing artwork, creating pictures and objects of inspiration and beauty. This is what a gift of art is meant for, to create artwork that honors God and blesses people as an inspiration to people. It's got a higher calling. People use their gifts for all wrong reasons. They sing for the wrong reason. They produce art for the wrong reason. They may be totally gifted of God, but not according to their call is their gift used. The written word, being able to communicate beauty, healing, hope, spiritual insight, truth, and at times warning with written words, being able to effectively write and communicate. The spoken word, being able to speak and communicate with people through the spoken word, communicating beauty, healing, hope, spiritual insight, truth, and at times warning with the spoken word. Artistic skills, these are, and gifts, these are given to us by God, and you're uniquely endowed by your Creator with these gifts, but for a purpose. Now, most people who've been in the church for very long, particularly in a Spirit-filled church, would think their minds would go to what the King James calls gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These actually aren't gifts. The word gifts is italicized. That means it's not in the original. It just means a spiritual. The word spiritual is there instead of gifts. These spiritual gifts, spirituals, they are actually manifestations of the Holy Spirit. The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. These don't fit into the gifts that we would receive as unique gifts. These are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. not resident within us, but given to us as the Spirit wills. It is a tool given to us. Here, Susan, take this screwdriver, go over and fix that, and then bring the screwdriver back. That's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. There's a job that needs to be done. I'm wanting you to do it. I'm giving you the tool to do it. It's for this purpose right now. You don't own working of miracles. It's something that, if God wills, comes upon you by the Holy Spirit. These are not actually gifts, but manifestations of the Spirit, given and divided as the Spirit wills. We should all be looking for those, and we want those to manifest, those manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We want Him to glorify Himself in this, in us, in our body, and through us. We want Him to use us. I want Him to use me. But that is not one of the unique gifts that He has perhaps given me. He uses me in that from time to time. He'll use you in that from time to time. But it is not a gift resident within you that you have the button to push when you feel like it needs to be pushed. Everything else is. Then we go to Romans 12. The gifts, the grace gifts mentioned there. We won't read through that. Remember, the whole purpose is not to understand the gifts right now, but to understand that those gifts are given to us by God. They're given to us for a purpose, to honor Him, to glorify Him, and to bless others. But in this list of gifts, these seven gifts listed in Romans chapter 12, and I did an entire message on these gifts back when I was preaching to the church that Jesus is building. If you want to get into these more, just know that they're there and that God wants to use you in a particular way, uniquely for His glory. These gifts are listed very briefly. Prophecy, that is seeing what others cannot yet see, and without being full of pride, helping others to see it also. Ministering. Ministering means to serve. It is serving to make the lives of others better. Some gift of service to make lives of others better. Teaching, helping others to learn what God wants them to learn. Exhortation, helping others to know that they can do it. Giving, it's a strong desire and a willingness to bless others with the goods and services or money that you have. People are motivated in this way. We all should be giving. We all should be seeing. We all should be serving. We all should be teaching. We all should show mercy. But there's some that have a stronger presence of these things in their lives, and they need to understand how they're motivated and how God uses them. Ruling, that means bringing order and efficiency where it is needed, and showing mercy. That's being kind, understanding, and helpful from a heart of compassion. Those are ways that God gifts us uniquely. Another unique gift is wisdom. God wants to give wisdom. And some have more wisdom than others. Some have a gift of wisdom. Wisdom is correctly applied knowledge. Wisdom is to know what to do with the knowledge that you have. Just knowing something doesn't mean that you're going to be able to correctly use what you know. You need wisdom. We all need wisdom. And when we don't possess it as a gift, then we go to those who do. We seek out those who have wisdom. I strongly encourage you to find people in your life that have more wisdom than you, because it's a gift from God. Then influence. Influence is a gift from God. It's the ability to influence the thoughts and behaviors of others. Influence is given to us. It makes room for a gift to operate. When you have influence, other gifts of God have room to operate through you in the lives of other people. And the gift in operation increases influence. So it's a cyclical thing, and it's a good thing. Influence wrongly used, influence when it's wrongly used, will bring about harsher judgment on those who use it. James chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." I'm getting close to wrapping everything up. Again, I'm not here to fully give you the ins and outs on everything. I'm not here to tell you what your gift is. I'm only here to tell you that God has gifts for you, because God has a call for you. He has a job for you. And the purpose of your gift is, Dustin?
To honor Him and bless others.
To honor Him and bless others. Now, some general notes in closing. Gifts grow with exercise and with use. Expect growth from use. Expect growth from use. And expect stagnation with lack of use. Just as you can expect your gift to grow from using it, you can expect your gift to stagnate if you don't. Then the second general note is, in our unique gifts, we are unique. Comparing ourselves with others is not wise and can hinder your growth. Well, I'm a preacher, and Brother Jason is a preacher, but I don't preach near as good as Brother Jason. Maybe, why, Lord? Why can't you make me as good as Brother Jason? Why can't you make me, you know, the best? The only thing you can do is be the best version of you that you can be. We're not in competition with one another, and we're not to compare ourselves with other people. The Scripture says when we judge ourselves among ourselves, by ourselves, and compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. It'll hinder your growth. But be who He wants you to be right now, right here. This is the foundation on which to grow. Once again, in closing, just as I did last time, are you pursuing His call on your life? Are you exercising the gifts that He has given you for His glory, to glorify God, to honor Him, and to bless people? Are you encouraging others to seek God, to know His calling, and to exercise their gifts? Do you show your support for them as they respond to God's call? Do you express thanks and appreciation for His gifts manifested through them? And are you encouraging your children to hear the voice of the Lord, to answer His call when they hear it, and to receive His gifts and to use them for His glory? One of the reasons why the Lord led me to this message when it started in part one over 2 years ago, the reason was because I was watching a talent show. I can't remember what it was. America's Got Talent, American Idol, The Voice, whatever. And a recurring thing kept happening with so many talented singers. They would say, "I was brought up and I sang in church. And I learned to sing in church." And it always broke my heart, because their talent astounded me. Their God-given gift blessed me. But how they were using it and the reason for its use cut me to the core. This is not pleasing to God. I can honor somebody's talent and ability and thank God that that person is so tremendously blessed and talented and gifted. I don't want to be a church that sees the gift of God grow, arrive, be received, and grow in the lives of our young people, and then see them later on thinking that this is for their benefit. This is for their enrichment. This is for them to be noticed. This is for them to be famous. I want me in my life to continue to grow in my understanding that everything I have is for His glory, to honor Him and to bless people. And I want the young lives that we have responsibility for here to understand that too. Young people, if you ever get to the place where you are so good at something and you go off and you use that for another purpose, I'll be so thankful to God for what He's given you, but so heartbroken for how you're using it. Let's realize that our very life has been given to us for a purpose. And how that life is lived out in the gifts that are universal and the gifts that are unique. We've got to keep our focus on the reason. And I am committed that everything that I have is going to be returned to Him for His glory. When people drive by my house, if they see anything there that makes them feel like, oh, that's a nice place, if they do, I'm not saying they do, but if they do, and if they ever bring it up to me, I want to be able to say, you know why? Because I'm a Christian. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And it's important to me to honor Him with this place. I hope that there's something of God stirring within you. Seek Him for His call. Seek Him for His gifts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You. And I praise You. Thank You, Lord, that You speak to every heart here in this room and everybody watching it now or later on the streaming. Lord, I pray that Your voice would be heard. Speak to us, Lord. Help us to honor You and to bless people in Your name. Amen.
Y'all would just stay.